You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Well, I'm really glad to be here with you again today. It was so good to be with you yesterday. And yesterday we found ourselves in Psalm 130, and I'm a very original person, so we're going to be in Psalm 131 today. Turn there with me, and I'll read the passage, and then we will pray for our time together. Psalm 131, a song of ascents. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. The word of the Lord. Let's pray together. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's March, and that means one thing to me. March Madness is in full gear. I don't know about you, but I grew up playing basketball. And this time of year always brings about an air of nostalgia for me, excitement. You know, the first weekend of the NCAA tournament is one of the most exciting weekends in sports. There's games all over the place. There's number one seeds advancing, but there's also upsets, teams that shouldn't have won, Cinderella stories. But there's one from this year that is basically the Cinderella story of all Cinderella stories. Before the first weekend of the tournament, I could not have told you that there was a university called Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey. They were a 16 seed going up against the number one Purdue University, and FDU had nothing in their favor. They made the tournament because their own conference champion was in an introductory period to get into the Division I. They were the shortest team in the country by a pretty big margin. And they were going against Purdue and Zach Edey, a great team with a 7'4", 305-pound superstar. And you know what? FDU won by 5. The biggest upset ever. But what stood out about that was something more than the game itself. In a locker room speech prior to the game, FDU's coach, Tobin Anderson, is caught hyping up his undersized, overwhelmed team by saying, with the camera rolling, "I want Purdue to see this. The more I watch Purdue, the more I think we can beat them." Now, by any sort of metric, that is an absurd statement. What stood out most to me, though, in the coach's speech was the aspiration and ambition for greatness in his statement. Now, today, if you think I'm going with like a David versus Goliath theme, fear not. I just want to point out the fact that in many ways, the way he talked, that coach, is typical of the water that we swim in as Americans, as Alabamians, as Birminghamians. There's a can-do, will-do, must-do ambition embedded in our country, our city, our community. We are expected to make an impact, leave a legacy, climb the ladder, do great things. And into our ambitious lives, in the midst of March Madness, comes a psalm like Psalm 131, a psalm about lowliness, humility, contentment, quietness, trust, a psalm that one person said is one of the shortest to read, but one of the longest to learn. So this psalm speaks to the predisposition of pride in all of our hearts. But this writer confesses that their heart is not lifted up. Their eyes aren't raised too high. Meaning at the cocktail party, they aren't clamoring around and shouldering to be near the most important person or the most distinguished guest. The people that might advance them socially or professionally. There's no networking going on at this cocktail party for this person. Instead, they're along the sides, probably munching on their shrimp cocktail, enjoying a quiet conversation. The psalm also speaks to our cultural desire to kind of be everything, everywhere, all at once, like the title of this year's Oscar for the Best Picture. The psalmist says they don't give too much thought to things too great and marvelous for them. So something about me is I love everything to do with outer space. I'm a space cadet. And I'm always fascinated by like the astronomical numbers, the size comparisons of planets and other solar systems to ours, etc. But not this writer. They're a person of the earth. Their feet are planted on the ground. They understand themselves well enough to know they don't have enough bandwidth to be in everybody else's business all the time. They're not proud. They're not ambitious. Instead, they say they're like a child that's content in the lap of its mother. One of the most beautiful images in the world is of a child that's asleep with its parent. Probably beautiful for the parent because the child has been running around all day. But it's such an image of peace and contentment. And that's what this writer says is going on in their soul. There's a calmness. There's a quietness. And that's why verse 3 is a fitting end. It just says, community of faith, hope in the Lord. Because the Lord is the reason for calmness, for quietness, for contentment for our souls. So what does this mean for you and for me today? How does the truth of this psalm want to work its way into us? Well, you may be in here today and you're all about some quietness. You're a pretty humble person. You're not seeking the limelight. You kind of just naturally happen to be one of these kinds of people. You may be quiet. You don't stand out in the crowd. Your cheeks might get rosy at any sort of compliment or praise. And this psalm might feel like a little bit of confirmation of the person you happen to be. Or you may be in here and you've heard this psalm and you kind of didn't resonate at all. The limelight is where you live. You thrive in ambition and attention. You love rubbing shoulders with the bigwigs. You're often seeking some self-improvement and social climbing. And this psalm might function as a little bit of a condemnation of the person that you've been. But I would say if we're looking at this psalm as a confirmation or a condemnation, we're hearing a small fragment of what it's ultimately trying to tell us. Because what this psalm is actually telling us is about the heart of God. This psalm is actually best understood, best heard, when it is listened to as the prayer of God Himself. And what this psalm tells us about our God is that He's a God who's willing to go low. He's a God, like we heard yesterday, who dives to the depths. I love how C.S. Lewis puts it in his book, The Screwtape Letters, writing from the perspective of a demon when he says, He, God, is cynically indifferent to the dignity of His own position. He's a God who chose to culminate the salvation of all things through a crucified man. Who has believed what he's heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we would look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Christ, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking to himself the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That, my friends, is God. A God whose highest ambition and aspiration is to go low, to go deep, to enflesh himself as the God-man, Jesus, a man with 2 feet firmly planted on the ground to save sinners like you and me. And it's through his self-effacing lowliness that we now have eternal life. Amen. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful that you have become low, that you did not set your sight too high, that you did not remain above, but you came down to be with us, to save us, to redeem us, to bring us salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And we know that love because we know Jesus. In his name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.